Good. It's good to be home in my Danish church family. I love coming to this church, been involved for over 10 years now. In fact, it may be longer than that now. But you were very small when I first started coming and gradually got larger and larger and larger. And the next time I come, maybe we'll be through the wall. No. Or maybe next year, huh?
Next year.
Looking forward to that. Well, as Martin said, I'm going to speak to you a little bit about connection this morning. The theme of the worship has already been about connecting to Jesus. Because the communion is about our connectedness to Him. If I'm not connected to Jesus, then I'm lost. I'm only connected to you because I'm connected to Jesus. He is the one at the center of our fellowship. So it is all about Jesus. But once I come to Jesus and I find my salvation and my meaning in life, I discover He's also connected me to you, to other Christians, other believers from all nationalities and all backgrounds and rich and poor. And it's amazing. The family of God is an amazing thing. But because of our humanity and because of our brokenness before we came to Christ, sometimes we can find connecting to the people a little bit more difficult than connecting to Jesus. Jesus is wonderful, but people, well, sometimes they're not so wonderful. So I want to explore our connectedness to one another for a few minutes with you this morning. I want to take you back to the very beginning to start with. Because in the beginning, the Genesis account in the Bible teaches that everything God made was good. Remember those scriptures? He made the creation. He said, it's good, it's good, it's good. But there was one thing that wasn't good. In Genesis 2:18, it says, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. And you understand the story. He creates the woman. And then he says further down that chapter, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of the man. So the man who was once alone is now connected. And that pattern sets a pattern for all time, a creative pattern, a pattern of relationships that human beings need other human beings to have a fulfilled and blessed and fruitful life. We all need to be connected, don't we? And if we are not connected, we feel it. There's an ache within us. I want to belong. I want to know who I am. Who are my people? Where do I fit? Where do I connect? And you know, all that happened before the fall. When God gave the woman to the man, he wasn't fixing a problem caused by sin. This was in the perfect world. So in God's perfect kingdom, we're still going to need connections with each other. From that point on then, in the Bible story, it's a story from Genesis to Revelation of meaningful connections. And we could go in lots of directions here, but a few simple examples. There are, of course, family connections. Now, immediately when I say family, you think blood family. But of course, we are spiritual family, aren't we? In fact, we're a mixture. Because some of you have got blood relatives here, and they're also your spiritual family as well. And the central story of the Bible is actually about family connections. The family of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob then became the children of Israel, became the Jewish nation. And from that bloodline, God established that if you will have the same faith as Abraham had, who was the beginning of the natural family line, then you will also join the spiritual family line. So there's a sense in which we are one family, not joined by blood, but joined by faith, which is the same faith that Abraham had. In Galatians 3, Paul puts it this way. He says, understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So we're a spiritual family today. We're all connected to Abraham, our spiritual father. And when you connect to a local church like this, what you're doing is you're saying, this is my spiritual family. It's a local expression of the big family that joins all believers in the whole world. And if this is your church family, your spiritual family, I would suggest someone connected you to us right at the start. Now, you all look back down your stories. Someone introduced you to the church. Someone connected you to another Christian somewhere. Somebody shared the gospel with you. But there was human connectedness involved in you becoming part of the spiritual family that we're all part of. Do you remember in the Acts of the Apostles, in chapter 9, we read about Paul. Before he was called Paul, he was called Saul. He changed his name. And he tells us that when he first became a Christian, he'd been very against the church. He'd been persecuting Christians, killing them, trying to rid the world of them. And then he'd met Jesus and had this amazing conversion experience. So what does he do? He tries to join the church. But of course, the church are a little bit nervous about the former persecutor coming and joining their local church. It tells us in Acts 9 that when he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. But they're all afraid of him, not believing he was really a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he'd preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. And basically, he's accepted because Barnabas took him by the hand and brought him to the people and said, no, he is a good guy. He was connected to the family by another believer. And I suggest us, we've all been connected to the local family by someone else at some point. Barnabas was that connection. You know, sometimes we're scared of the church. Sometimes the church is scared of us. Can you remember what it was like the first time you walked into a room like this? And you looked around at all these faces and all these people and went, ooh, is there anybody here like me? Will I fit in? What will they all think of me? And depending on your background and personality, it can be quite scary walking into a room of this many people, can't it? What you need is a Barnabas who will meet you on the door and say, hey, I've not met you before. Come on, let me introduce you to some people like you. And you find your connection into the spiritual family through other people that help you in that journey. So that's what we might call the family connections. Once you're in the family, the spiritual family, then you have the opportunity to have some real friendship connections. Because typically, people of like heart and mind become friends over common interests, and it's another level of connection. I remember not so long ago reading the account of Jesus on the cross. And if you remember the story, when he's actually nailed to the cross, one of the last things he did was speak to his mother and his best friend, John. John was the disciple Jesus loved above all. He's like his bestie, his best friend. And his mother Mary was there. And Jesus looked from the cross, and in John 19 it says, when he saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, dear woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. I find that fascinating. The last words of Jesus to them were words of connection. Now, the fact is, Jesus had other brothers. He had other family. But he didn't connect his mother to her own children. He connected her to the one who had the same faith, the same belief of him. People who would share that common kingdom set of values and like-mindedness. And deep friendships forged out of initially being connected to the family, then you find real good deep friendship connections like that. We all need that, don't we? You need to be able to look across a room this size and go, this is great. Love this church. Love these people. This is my family. I feel connected. But what's best of all is, aha, I love that one in particular. And I really appreciate him in particular. She's an awesome friend. And you find your deeper friendship connections very often in the heart of the spiritual family connectedness. So there's family, there's friendship. I think then some of those connections get strengthened simply by serving together. They're ministry connections. Now, if I said, do you have any ministry connections? It can sound a little bit like, you mean I've got to be full-time on the church staff? No, ministry just means to serve. So if you serve and get involved anywhere, you're ministering. And by serving together, you kind of build deep friendships. You get to know each other. You carry the burden together. You carry aspects of the church life and ministry together. And that deepens connectedness. People that don't get involved in serving, I often find, don't feel strongly connected to the church. And there's a temptation they can end up using the church as an event. So they come and enjoy the worship experience and they enjoy the sermon maybe. But they don't feel connected until they start doing. Doing things together really strengthens our sense of connection. Going back to Barnabas and Paul, I find it interesting that when the gospel first came to a city called Antioch, which was outside the Jewish region, and the word came down to the apostles in Jerusalem, oh, people are coming to Christ in Antioch. Wow, those are Gentiles. We need to send someone to check this out. So they send Barnabas to Antioch to check out that it's genuine. He comes back and says, yep, there's evidence there of God's grace. The Gentiles are believing. The gospel's getting outside of the Jewish bubble. So they send him to look after it. And he thinks, I need a connection. I need a ministry connection. Someone to help me serve in this environment. So in Acts 11, it says that Barnabas then went to Tarsus, which was quite a long journey. It was in southern Turkey. He went there to look for Saul. When he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. They became a ministry connection, serving together. And what I see happening is, I see Paul became a Christian. Barnabas believed it was genuine, so he connected him to the church family. Then it became a friendship, because I'm sure Paul was very grateful to Barnabas for helping him in that connection. And now when he needs someone to minister with him, he goes and finds his friend to come and serve with him. So the levels of connectedness deepen and strengthen through the journey of their life. We all need ministry connections. And I would urge you, if you're not involved in helping or serving somewhere, in making this spiritual family function, get stuck in. Find out how you can help. You may say, well, I've not got much time. That's okay. The church will take whatever you've got. If you've got an hour a week, there'll be some way you can invest and connect and help us do what we're doing. There may be more time. You have experience. You've got spiritual wisdom and blessing. The older generations need to pour their life into the young, and the young need to bring their energy and zeal to the old, so that together we're continually one growing connected family moving forward. Our connectedness is precious, but it's got to be worked on. Now, I could go further. The Bible talks about work connections. Again, sticking with Paul as my example, Paul was a tent maker. That was his trade. Yes, he was a Pharisee. Yes, he was educated. Yes, he became a Christian minister. But his core trade was he made tents. In Acts 18, we discover that he arrived in Corinth, where he was eventually going to stay there for a long period and build a great church. But when he first arrived, he met a couple called Priscilla and Aquila, who were also tent makers. And the scripture tells us that when he met them, he says he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who'd recently come from Italy with his wife, Priscilla. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed with them and worked with them. Pure work connection. But they were also believers. So he's made a connection which starts as, actually it starts as an ethnic connection, because it says they were Jews. So Paul goes to a new city and looks for people like him. Any other Jews here? That's what we do, if we're honest, isn't it? Everywhere we go, we look for other people like us, very often of our nationality and race. It's kind of how we're wired as human beings. But then it becomes a work connection because they're both tent makers. And they're both believers, so it's a spiritual family connection. And if you keep reading through the New Testament, Priscilla and Aquila become regular ministry partners with Paul through the rest of his journey. Multi-layered. It's just a divine connection. It's a divine connection. Sometimes God joins the dots and connects you to people that you think, if God hadn't done that, this would have never happened. Me being here is one of those, I would suggest to you. Martin walked into my life. He came from this place called Denmark. Years ago, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago now when we first met, he walked into my life, we had a conversation, and we just connected. And the connection became friendship. And then it became serving together and working together and building church together. And that deepens and deepens. And when you look back on it, you could say, well, who made that happen? The Holy Spirit made it happen. And the divine connection serves greater God's greater purpose and fulfills us individually in life. And I think if you'll keep your ears and your eyes open, God will help you make connections with people that will serve his greater purpose, his kingdom purpose, which is an amazing thing to be a part of. So I say all that to simply say this. You need to be connected. If for no other reason than you're a human being, you've got to be connected positively to other people, and you need a wide range of connections for a happy and fulfilled life, because God has wired us that way. Let me just say a couple of quick things about what I've said so far. Already, I hope you're seeing that to become connected meaningfully to another person, I have to be willing to give a little bit of myself away. I've got to be willing to become a little bit vulnerable, maybe share a bit of my story. Maybe sometimes I have to see past my pride or my independence, which, no, I don't need anybody. I don't need people. Yes, you do. You need people. You need to be loved, and you need to know you belong. Come on, get over yourself. And we have to deal with some of those things to make sure that we can connect sometimes and deal with any hindrances to us becoming connected. I think that's what was going on for Paul and Barnabas in the early days. And it's always worth paying the price of working a little bit harder to connect with people positively. But the other thing I've realized is this. I actually make it easy or hard for you to connect with me. And you have it, the ability to make it easy or hard for me to connect with you. So if I don't want to connect with you, I just give you an icy glare, you know, an icy stare, or I keep you at arm's length. I give you signals, body language that say, no nearer, no further, no, we're not talking, see you later. I can make it very difficult for you to connect with me. And we do that to each other all the time as human beings. Or I can make it easy. I can stop. When I see you catch my eye, I can pause. I can smile. I can introduce myself, tell you my name. I can be friendly, make the first move, just from a heart that wants to be connected. Well, I think sometimes we don't do it because we think, well, I don't want to be everybody's friend. But I'm not talking necessarily about everybody connecting with me. I'm talking about me helping you connect to others, being a conduit for helping everybody find helpful connections. And of course, once you've got that initial level of connectedness in a church family like this, then deeper friendships can evolve and so on. That's why we must have what I want to call a culture of connection. A culture of connection. We must have it in the culture of the church. Like all good churches, because this is a good church, you have systems. And the systems are designed to help people to connect. You saw the advert earlier on about life groups. Life groups are there for people to connect to. So they will meet other people, help one another on their journey of following Jesus, make some friends, learn the scripture, do social things together. It's an environment for connecting, isn't it? This morning, what we're doing right now is one of those. And it's put on by the church every Sunday morning, an opportunity to come and connect. Now, in your head, you might say, yes, I'm coming to connect with Jesus. But yeah, we've got that in the bank. You're also coming to connect with people. It's put on by the church. And to help you make connections, as you look around, some people have got lanyards on. And they've got little badges, which kind of gives you a signal, I am here to help you. If you have any connections, if you want to connect with people, talk to me. It's a system put on by the church. And as you look at, you know, go online, see what the church puts on, you'll find events for men and events for ladies. You find ministry that's working with youth and teens and children. There's a worship team and there's social ministries. And so it goes on. Lots of activities which are opportunities for people to connect to. But I've been in enough churches in my life now that have all those things and are still unfriendly, unwelcoming places to know that it's not just about the systems. The systems, the vehicles are great, but there must be a heart behind them. There's got to be a sense of genuineness so that it becomes a culture of welcoming, a culture of connecting, not just systems. And my big question for you today is simply this. Will you please help us create a culture of connection here at Alive? Please help us create a culture of connection. And as you say yes in your heart, that therefore means you're going to have to be three things. Not do, be three things. And these are simply them. Firstly, be connected. Be connected. You cannot help others connect unless you are connected yourself. So be connected. Remember, it's not necessarily about connecting people to you. It's about helping people find their life-giving connections in the church community. So I need to be in church. I need to be with other believers. It does me good. It's a blessing to be here, and it creates pathways for me to help them and do them good. I'm sure you're all familiar with the scripture in Hebrews 10 that says, let's consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. See, your church connection starts in your heart. You're not here because you have to be. You're not here out of duty. You're not here just to connect with Jesus. You're here to connect with the family of God, other precious people who will enrich your life, and together you'll be part of the mission of this church to reach more and more lost souls. Starts in our heart. And as we connect with people and we serve with them together, we become an expression of what it, in Acts 2:42, it talks about how the early church devoted themselves to fellowship. They devoted, that's a love thing, it's a heart thing. The heart was in it. No, church will never be a one-size-fits-all in terms of what you can do. You can only do what you can do, depending on time, experience, age, availability, what's going on in your life. I'm not talking about doing. I'm talking about being. Be connected in your heart. This is my home. These are my people. This is my tribe. I'm blessed to be part of this house of God. And once you get the heart right, that then moves you into action, but it's springing from the right place. So be connected yourself as a first step. I think the second thing we have to be to create this culture of connection is to be a connector. Be a connector. Take responsibility to help everyone connect. Say, oh no, we have staff that do that. You know, we've got Martin and we've got Brian and we've got others and they, no. Forget the staff, forget the professionals. This is a family. We do this together. And just as you connect yourself, then be a connector yourself. See, I cannot be connected for you, but I can help you find some great connections. And if we will all get involved, I think it will enrich the life and fellowship of the church in an amazing way. If only half of this church decided, I will be a connector, I will help connect people to other relationships and other people, if only half did it, this is what would happen. You'd end up with groups of people who had deep, meaningful friendship and fellowship. And then the other half of you would be like lost souls, coming to events like this and wondering, do I really fit? Oh, I can't get into this group because they're a close group and I feel a little bit outside it. And it can be very difficult to integrate and find your place. This only works if we all take ownership of it. And we all say, right, I'm going to be a connector. How do you be a connector? Well, I've got five things for you here. Firstly, we all need to be watching. Everybody with their eyes open. So whether it's Sunday morning, whether it's with the youth group, whether it's in a small group, wherever you're doing life together as church, just have your eyes open and spot who's there. Spot who's coming. Have you seen them before? Did they come with someone from church? Just be watching. If we're all watching, that's step one. Now, secondly, we need everybody empathizing. That's everybody with their heart open. Watching is everybody with their eyes open, but we need everybody with their heart open. So you spot the stranger, you spot the new person, you spot the person who looks a little bit shy or a bit scared, and you feel for them. And so you're likely now to want to help them connect and to reach out to them. As I said earlier, remember what it was like when you first came into a crowd like this. People need to feel that we're for them. Then thirdly, we need to be everyone welcoming those people. So you've watched, you've spotted them, you've felt for them. Now you've actually got to open your arms and go and draw them in and actually extend welcome to them. Be the open arms of the church family. Take responsibility for it. Say, I will be the open arms of a life curtain. I won't just leave it to the staff. I won't just leave it to the people with badges around their neck. No, I'll be part of the welcome. You see, if you leave it to the host team, you're leaving it to the system. And systems always fail. No, be the heart of it. Be the heart of it. So we're all welcoming. So everybody's got their eyes open watching. Everybody's feeling for the new people. Everybody's willing to be part of the welcome. So fourthly, everybody is linking people together. It's basically saying, okay, hi, I'm Steve. I've not seen you before. You discover the person's got a certain interest or a certain age. Let me take you and introduce you to someone who's a bit like you. And actually go and make connections, join people together, be proactive. If that frightens you, get over your fear. Do it with a friend. Do it with others. But gain the confidence that we want you to be blessed to be part of our spiritual community today and start linking people together. You know, that means you've got to know a few things. You've got to know what the church does. You've got to know what activities are on. Because you may meet someone and talk to them and say, and you discover they don't really know Jesus or they're a very new believer. And you think to yourself, what they need is an alpha course. And you can say that to them, you should come to the Alpha course. How much better for you to take them by the hand and take them to the person that you know runs the Alpha course or one of the workers on the team and say, hey, this is Jenny, and she's just come to Jesus. She'd really love to know more about Alpha. And you make the connection and help them. You know, you see a scared-looking younger person, and you take them by the hand and say, let me take you to some of our great young people. And you bring them across, and you introduce them to some of the youth in the church. It's that simple, but we've got to be prepared to be linking people. That's everybody with their hands busy. So we've all got our eyes open, all got our heart open, all got our arms open. We're all getting busy joining people together. And when we're all doing that, I think the fifth thing we're all doing is we're all paying the cost. We're saying, I'll pay the price for enriching cultural connections in this church. What does it cost to be a connector? Sometimes it just costs walking across the room. Because you spot someone, you're beginning to feel it, you're thinking, maybe I should go and talk to them. And the cost to you is the courage to get off your seat, walk across the room and say hi and start that process. Sometimes it costs us a little bit of inconvenience. Sometimes it costs you having to, you know, stay on longer than you would like to rush off and have a conversation just to help someone find a connection. Sometimes it costs giving a little bit of yourself away, telling them about your journey and your story to help them feel at ease. Pay the cost. And whether you've been here 1 week, 1 month, 10 years or 20 years, be part of the connection culture that we want to generate. Yes, it costs sometimes, but I tell you, I'm glad somebody paid the price for me. Somebody had the courage to draw me in and help me connect when I was initially nervous. So what am I saying? Please help us develop this culture of connection. Firstly, by being connected yourself. Secondly, by being a connector, doing all those things, joining people together. And lastly, by being cohesive. Being cohesive. If something is cohesive, it sticks together. I'm basically saying, will you please be part of the glue? Be part of the glue that helps people stay together and stick together rather than drifting apart. So part of keeping the culture of connection strong is also noticing if people start to drift. People start to move to the fringe. People start to sit further back. People don't turn up as regularly. You spot it, see it, raise it, contact them. Be part of the cohesion to keep the family together. Now, ultimately, what is it that keeps us together? I think it's where I said at the start. It's Jesus. It's the communion we took earlier. It's Jesus that keeps us together. It's always Jesus first, isn't it? It's get them to Jesus. In him we found our reason for the human fellowship. And sometimes when the human fellowship starts to drift, it's because their connectedness to Jesus has become a little bit disrupted. And we need to have the courage and the willingness to connect to one another strongly to Jesus so that we stay part of the family. In Colossians 1:17, he says of Jesus that he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. In him all things hold together. You can't keep this church family together just by human strength and just by social activities and just by human ingenuity. You can't do it. The only reason we're together is because of Jesus. That's the only reason we're here. So we've got to keep each other connected to Jesus. He's the glue. And because I love you and I want the best for you and I want this church to thrive, if I see you drifting from Jesus, I'm going to encourage you to get back on track with Jesus. And if you will stay connected into a life group or into regular church attendance, into serving regularly and being with friends in church, that allows people to speak into your journey when you're tempted to drift. So let's be that cohesion that helps one another stay connected to him Because as we're connected to the head of the body stays together, and it's a beautiful thing. Let me finish by saying this. I said at the start, God has designed that we need connections. And yep, we're designed for relationship with Him, but we're also designed for connectedness with other human beings. And I am convinced, and I know I'm biased, but I'm convinced the church is the best place in the world to find life-giving connections. Yes, you can find it in a golf club or a squash club or a football team. You can find camaraderie and connectedness in life. But when it's centered around Jesus, that gives it a cohesion and a meaning which takes it up to a much higher level. There's nothing like being connected to other people who love Jesus. And we've got the same heart and mission to see the world transformed and more people reached for Him. So my prayer is that together we will build that culture of connection I've been trying to communicate by simply taking responsibility for my part, which is I am going to be connected. I will make sure I stay in strong. I am going to be a connector. I'll have my eyes open, my heart open, my arms open. I'll link people together. I'll be part of the glue. And I'm going to keep this church cohesive by as best I can staying close to Jesus myself and helping you stay close to Jesus. And the culture of connectedness, the culture of friendliness and warmth will grow and deepen and be an irresistible thing that holds you together. All because we have a shared love for Jesus and His mission to the world. Amen? Let me just pray and I'll hand back to the team. Heavenly Father, I thank You that You didn't save us and leave us in isolation, but You saved us and put us with other people to go on a journey through life with meaningfully and to serve Your greater purpose. And I ask that Your Holy Spirit would take the words we've spoken today, take all the things we've thought and sung and worshipped about today, and as we live this week, help us to enact them to the full so that we each play our part to this great divine culture in Jesus' name. Amen.